each and every one. Just shake hands with everyone beside you and say, the Lord bless you. And it's good to have each one here this morning. Good to see some of the wee ones back again. And we just thank the Lord for his touch. And George Quinton sends his greetings to everyone. I was talking to him yesterday. He's been quite busy traveling different places. He's going off again to Switzerland, Germany. I think George is about 70 years old, so he's going well.
Yeah.
And we just thank the Lord for that. And then Brother Andrew baptized two people down in Carlow, down the south yesterday. They baptized two people, and we just thank the Lord for that. So we just praise God for the things of God, and we just pray that God will bless each one this morning. Let's turn to the Word of God, to Matthew 25 again. And I was going to preach on, Brother Yule had mentioned in his prayer a couple of times, say so. So I was all set, I had a sermon all ready to preach on. I think I preached it once at Adelaide. I might have preached it here before, I'm not sure, but when I went back out this morning again, I had to come back to this here again. So I believe it's just the Lord. We know that the Lord really did visit us Wednesday night. And we just thank the Lord for his mercy and for his grace. Let's read just verse 7 to verse 9 this morning, just by way of time. But you keep your finger in chapter 25 of Matthew, but we're reading verse 7 to verse 9. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Yeah. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer again. Our Father and our eternal God, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy and for your grace. And we know that your word says thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness unto us. We thank thee for each one that's here. We bless thee for the little ones. We pray you'll continue to bless them, touch them, and Lord, just print your word in their hearts that they'll come to know you, young, in Jesus' precious name. Father, we pray for those that had to work this morning that couldn't be here, that you'll bless them and strengthen them and be with them today. Bless all that's here, we pray. And Father, for all that's been prayed, we do say amen. Now, Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit, and I thank you, undertake for me in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray you'll speak to people this morning. If there's some things you're not sure about, that you'll bring it out this morning and answer their questions and speak to them and strengthen them and bless them. For I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. I have some books on the questions and answers. If anybody wanted one, just let us know. I think I have some left. Questions and answers. There's so many different things in it. It can be a good help, you know. But I want to continue on with this, because these lamps went out. They all had lamps. And the Bible talks about vessels as well as the lamps. And they had that oil in the vessel. And you know, when it talks about the vessel, that's the person. You are the vessel. So they were carrying lamps, but they had vessels. And you know, they had vessels as well. Not literally themselves. They had vessels with the lamps. We know that. But I'm saying it like this. The vessel in Scripture is a type of yourself. Because we know that Elijah asked for them to bring, or Elisha, bring as many vessels as he can. And he filled them oil. You know them scriptures. So the vessel's speaking to you. And God wants to fill you with oil. And you see, they all had their lamps and they all arose. So we saw already, as we've been going through this, there was a time of slumbering. And this was a time of slumbering where they were falling asleep. And Jesus talked about that. When Jesus went to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said to the disciples, watch with me and pray. And he kept falling asleep. But he never fell asleep. He knew he was going through a great hour of tribulation, a great hour of trial. And during that time, the Bible says he prayed, as it were, great sweat drops of blood, but he never fell asleep. But those with him fell asleep. And then he wakened them several times. And then when the night was all over, he said, sleep on now, for now it's over. But you see, there's time. There's a time to be awakened, and then there's a time where they'll be no longer awakened. They can sleep on, for the Lord will have come. But God, we saw on Wednesday night, God has sent suffering. In the day we live, in the generation we live, God has sent suffering. That's the spirit of Elijah. And there's no mistaking it, and there's no denying it. God has shook the earth. And God has sent a mighty revival, and God has sent many signs and many wonders and things that hadn't been seen for many generations. God has came on the scene and displayed. And this is a mighty awakening. But here, it's a late hour, and people's fallen asleep. And they've forgotten the things God's done. And they've forgotten the power of God. And the way God can answer prayer. And the mighty things God can do. But God wants us to be awakened. He wants us not to just to trim our lamps. But he wants us to be filled with oil. And we saw on Wednesday night, on ships especially, how they had men chosen to trim lamps, and they were called the lamp trimmers. And even when electric came in for many years, they still called the electricians lamp trimmers because of the sign was so strong. They were called lamp trimmers. And the lamp trimmer, you know, there's a wee wick in the middle of the lamp, and that wick comes up with the lamp and goes down into the bowl to throw the oil, but you have to trim the roughage of the wick and trim the wick. And then we saw that circumcision in the Old Testament was a cutting of the flesh, but into the New Testament it's a circumcision of the heart of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is a trimming and a cutting off. So there has to be a cutting off of sin, a cutting off of unbelief, a cutting off of the things of this world, the things that hold us away from God, and the things of God we have to trim off from them. Paul says, lay aside the weight, the sin that does so easily beset thee, that you might run the race. You know, we move far. I guess he's as good an example as I can think of. He is some runner. There's no question about it. He's probably one of the best I've ever seen. Do you imagine how you can move far a couple of 56 pound weights and tell him to carry them around the track? Well, it would slow him down, wouldn't it? No way he would beat them. Kenyans. Now them Kenyans are someone else. They are someone else, I'm telling you. They can run. They really can run. And they don't have one good runner, they have a nation of good runners. But Mo would never be fit to beat them, and he's beat them a brave lot of times. He'd never be fit to beat them if I gave him 256s, he'd have to lay them off. That's what Paul's talking about. He's using a natural race to type out the spiritual one. And he's saying we're to lay aside the sin that just so easily beset us. We're to trim our lamps. People say, Lord, why are you not filling me with the Holy Ghost? Why are you not filling me? Is your lamp trimmed? Is your lamp trimmed? You need to trim the lamp before you get filled. Justification, sanctification, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three works, but the one God does it. And they're all essential. You don't throw one out because we're in a different age. We still need them all. But here we see, with a midnight cry and a great awakening from sleep, and all the virgins begin to trim their lamps to readiness for the bridegroom. And the foolish suddenly realized that their lamps were going out. So these foolish had oil at one time. I want you to get this. Now you could go back to the generation when the Methodists had oil.
Yes,
you could go back to the generation when the Pentecostal church world had oil. You say if they're not got oil today. No, a lot of what they have today is false. Now they're talking about Pentecostal here in the Bible. I'm talking about the name. Dogma. You know what I mean? As a denominational name. a new generation come up. And the new generation weren't circumcised. And then the shout went out through the camp that they had to circumcise them because they weren't circumcised. And God did a mighty thing in the 60s and the 50s, and God moved. And William Branham, no doubt, was God's prophet and God's messenger. And all the men around him, many were filled with the Holy Ghost. But years have passed. Now we have a bunch that say they believe it, but do they have the Holy Spirit in the vessel? Or is the lamp going out? But their lamps are going out here, these foolish virgins. The foolish went to the wise asking for oil, and the wise replied, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for their own readiness to meet the bridegroom." So the foolish refused to give the wise refused to give the foolish their oil. You ever think of that? I tell you, it's something, isn't it? But you know what they said to them? Go to the ones that sell it. Get it for yourself. Amen. Go to the ones that sell it and get it for yourself. They exhort them to go to those that sold the bag for themselves. Proverbs 21 verse 20 says this: "There is a treasure to be desired, an oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up." So at one time they all had oil, and all down through the church ages, every church age had oil. But eventually that church age organized, and when they organized and they brought in traditions and different things, they got away from serving God as individuals to organization. And God's against organization. Do you know that? God's against organized religion. Do you realize that? William Branham even preached a message called "Why I'm Against Organized Religion." God's against it. That's the devil that has organized religion. And you see, people thought, God's done something great here, so we need to make a denomination and set in beliefs and stuff to save it. That's how you lost it, not save it. And God always has fresh oil. Amen. And fresh manna. So you see, you can look at this in two ways. You can look at this, the oil running out of the generations gone by, and you also want you to look at it as now for individuals. It's twofold here. Down through the ages they had oil, but God was almost at a people in every age with fresh oil. Then as individuals we need to make sure we are lapped as trim. And don't forget about the smoking of the glass. Needs to be cleaned. You know, if you don't trim the wick, you know, the glass smokes. I know some of you young ones, and I don't know much about it either, so I'm not being smart, but I'll tell you how I know a little about it. I lived with my grandparents for over a year, just outside Dromore. And I never forget. Now theirs were a bit different than what I'm talking about, really. Because my grandmother, they were like a wee set of tongs, and she dipped them in paraffin oil and she stuck them under this wee globe. It was a wee globe. And you always warned, don't touch it. Because if you touch it, you'll break it. It's so delicate. It's a wee paper globe. But after it's been a little time or two, do not touch it. It's delicate. But at the bottom of this, there was a pole come out of a wee bowl like this. Tilly lamp, is that the name for them? Tilly lamps. Filled with oil. And you had a pump on her like this, and you give her a good pump or two. And you got her ready, and you put this wee thing underneath it, these wee tongs that lit with paraffin oil. And you warmed up this wee globe, and then you kept pumping her, and the next thing there's a bright light. That was bright. And I remember from my grandmother's house, you could hear, shh, like a wee noise. Did everybody know what I'm talking about? There was a noise from it. Like a wee whiz. Could hear it. I can still hear it. And then you'd pump it up, pump it up. And then every now and again you'd have to give it a pump. Why, that's like the church. Leave them for a minute, they go dim. You gotta give them a pump or two. It's like all of us, God has to do it with us. It's all part and plan of it. That's why we need meetings and all the different things. God, the fivefold ministry is for the perfection of the saints, Ephesians tells us. But you see, this other one's maybe before that gave a wee wick, and I remember it as well. You know how I remember it? It was me and a boy used to have game boards. This is a way back, but you were only a wee lad here. And his father caught us boys doing something we shouldn't have been doing. I won't give you any details. But we were down the garden with one of these wee lumps with a wick in it. And with two wee roosters. And you know all the rest of it. And boy, he gave us a quirk going over with a stick. Didn't matter if I was his son or not. That's the way it was back then, Des. That big man Chambers got the hold of me and this young fella boy, I tell you what. My dad would have done the same. Oh, why, you see, you don't touch your own now, but back then, you'd done the badness. Didn't matter where you were. Whoever was the father of the house would have come on you with a good thorn stick or a belt, whatever was handiest, close to hand. But I remember we had the wee lamps now, and the wee lamps, and the glass would smoke up. And we didn't know a whole lot about them, but we'd have got them lit to do whatever sort of devilment we could be doing. We're only wee fellas at school. Remember one day, coming up home to his house, he lived out in the country. I shouldn't be telling you these things, but you young fellas now learn a lesson from this. Shouldn't be telling you that. But we spotted there used to be a 11-8 man go up. And boy, it was a hot day, so of course me and Aaron stole a bottle apiece. We're going up along the road, boy, we wasn't long about a drunk, and a lemonade man approached us. And he said, did you two boys steal a bottle of lemonade apiece of my cart? For I know money was on her. Oh no. No, we never took nothing. Well, he says, well, I'll tell you what, Aaron, you called my mate. He says, I'm going up to tell your dad, Aaron. Well, I can tell you what. When we heard he was going to tell Aaron's dad, we soon knew what the truth was. And we had to pay for the lemonade. The fear of Aaron's dad was enough. And that's the way it was. But you see, the wee lamps had to be trimmed. The glass would blacken up and get all dark, and you had to clean it and trim the wick, and you had to avoid it. And it was a combination of everything. The oil in there by itself, you don't still have light. You could have oil in there, but you've no light. You need the wick. The wick's as essential as the oil. And all the different elements together. And that's why we need justification. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctification. If you're doing things you know's not right, stop doing them and pray to the Lord to deliver you. And then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three things. And that's what we still need today. There's no going around it. It's still the Word of God. The wise said oil in an ox an extra. Matthew 25 and verse 4. Oil in the vessels with their lamps. So you read that in Matthew 25 verse 4. They'd oil in the vessels with the lamps. And God wants us to have oil in our vessels. Oil in the vessel. We need oil in the vessel this morning. And oil in the Bible always speaks of the Holy Spirit. And the foolish should spin up their oil. And the lamps are going out. The new extra supply of the Spirit. And the holy oil of God is always the Holy Ghost. Now let me read you this from Questions and Answers. Will anyone who has a true and genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost in this hour not be in the rapture of the bride? Would you explain? Tell us what we can do for you in any way as well. They're asking if they can help in any way. And he says, that's wonderful and that's sweet. Thanks. No, there's nothing you can do right now, talking about helping themselves. Yes, genuine believers as baptized in the Holy Ghost will be in the bride. Now, that's simple, isn't it? That's what he's asked. That's what he's told them. It's 1964. Now, how simple is that? So you see, he doesn't say there's a fourth stage that you have to learn. He doesn't say all the whole list of things. It's so simple. Jesus said it's simple. And he says the common do you know it's scripture? Because it's 1 Corinthians 13. For you're baptized into one body by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Ghost will be in the bride. Of course, there'll be a selected and called out. The sleeping virgins don't have any oil. Those that had the oil went in. So that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost puts you in. Now listen to what I want to say here. The lesson here is clear. Each believer needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our lesson. Every one of us needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not hard to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to show us well this morning, if you have the impression that being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, you're wrong. I want to tell you that right now. It's not the evidence. It's only one of the nine gifts. And it is not scriptural to say, except you speak in tongues, you haven't got it. Now, out of the five times in the book of Acts they were filled, they did speak in tongues three times. But you remember the scripture most people use in Acts chapter 2, it was not the tongue of angels they spoke in. The Bible says there's two tongues, tongue of man, tongue of angels. That was not what they spoke in the book of Acts. Where you read of it's first happening. What they did was preach in their language. So let's say for talk's sake their language was German. It wasn't, but I'm just saying, for example, they preached them in German, but they didn't know German. But God gave them German. That's what it means. Now why would God fill you this morning in here to speak in German if none of us know German? That wouldn't make sense, would it? It wouldn't. You see, what happened with the Pentecostal movement, they went over the top. They went so far on a limb to where they went, and this is their doctrine, this is what they believe is a doctrine. They believe if you do not speak with tongues, you haven't got it. They believe speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, that is not scriptural. It's no scripture for it. None. They can read the book of Acts. I've read it. They did speak in tongues. In three out of the five occasions, and two occasions they did not speak in tongues. So speaking in tongues is not the evidence. Speaking in tongues is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's other eight gifts. Prophesying, wisdom, gifts of miracles, gifts of healing, word of knowledge. You see? What would happen then if somebody had one of these other gifts and didn't speak in tongues? Would they not have it? None of them things are the evidence. And we have to be careful that we don't bring it across, that we're saying it is the evidence, but it's not.
That's right.
So we are not trying to get everybody to speak in tongues. If you've thought that, you've misunderstood it. That's not what we're doing. If you think you're doing that, you're wrong. You do not have to speak in tongues. And if you're thinking that because you haven't spoken tongues, you don't have the baptism, you're wrong. You might never speak in tongues and have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's not the evidence. Everybody doesn't have to speak in tongues. Now Paul says that I speak in tongues more than you all. And Paul says, I want that you all speak in tongues. But he's not saying everybody will. And Paul also says, where there's tongues will cease. He also says that. So tongues is not the evidence, but we believe in tongues. We certainly believe in tongues. Proper tongues should be interpreted. If tongues is given in the church as a message, it should be interpreted. Now somebody could be praying in the tongues to strengthen themselves. It's not a message. But if it's given out as a message, it needs to be interpreted. And it has to be interpreted. And Paul said, pray that ye may interpret it. And then God gives the interpretation. The interpretation could call out somebody or say something specific. It won't say the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you and have a nice week. That's not an interpretation. That's nonsense. That's not a message. Now that's good. That's an exhortation. I don't mean nonsense in the sense of it's good if somebody says that. But that's not a specific message. What about when God says you'll meet a man when you're over in Africa posing as a minister? You remember that message? That happened. That was specific. What about when the Holy Spirit says that the two men will stop you today and they're trying to introduce you to a young woman, they want you to marry her? It's not of God, be warned. And it happened. That's a message from God. So God gives genuine messages. We believe that. But I feel led to bring this morning because I felt some people thought maybe I haven't spoken tongues yet, I haven't got it. You don't need to speak in tongues to have it. We're going to see this morning. I want to go into this a little bit. Now, he did not say each believer must speak in tongues. That is not the evidence of baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it is one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me read you this here. And I want you to bear with me this morning. I feel to bring this. I think this will help somebody. Pentecostal theologians admit that they have no scripture setting forth the people speak with tongues when baptized with the Holy Ghost. They admit that they infer it from the experience of set forth in the book of Acts, wherein three out of the five times that the people spoke with tongues, and they also say within any scripture that there are two kinds of tongues. One is a tongue you speak with while receiving the Holy Ghost, and it's is the evidence why later on, if you believe, you can receive the gifts of tongues whereby you must speak often. However, they say once having spoken in tongues as the evidence of receiving, you may never speak again. Once more, we are anxious to know where this is found in the Word. If it isn't there, then God has not spoken it, or woe unto him who would add that to the Word. But there is something in the Word about this very subject that they ignore completely. 1 Corinthians 15, it mentions tongues of men and angels. These would be known and unknown tongues. Modern Pentecostals say that they can receive the Holy Ghost speaking in an unknown or angelic tongue. They have the cart before the horse. For in Acts 2, the people spoke in a perfect dialect, which even believers heard and understood. Now, when God is silent, we had better be silent. But where he has spoken, we had better speak too. And say what he has already said. He told us the evidence or what would happen after being filled with the Holy Ghost was that we would have the teacher come teach us all truth. But the teacher was an inside teacher, not an outside teacher. So when somebody comes along, if you don't believe my version, you know that's not it. It's in you. The teacher's within you. Amen? If the Spirit wasn't in, you wouldn't hear the truth and receive it by revelation. If you heard it every moment of the day, that was a sign of the indwelling Spirit in the day of the Paul. Those who were filled with the Holy Ghost heard the Word, received it, and lived by it. Those who did not have the Spirit heard it only as carnal men. Put a wrong interpretation on it and went into sin. In every age is the age of the Holy Spirit for true believers. I say in every age, the evidence was the same. How many knows when the Pentecostal denominations came along that said the Methodists didn't have the Holy Ghost? How many knows they said that? Do you know why? Because they never heard them speak in tongues. William Branham says John Wesley stopped up a horse, prayed for it, God healed it, and he is a messenger to one of the church ages, and he says, don't tell me that he did not have the Holy Spirit, because he had the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what he said. How many believes it? Not the truth? So you see, we can overemphasize tongues. They're true, but they're not the evidence. Amen. And the Spirit in them looked the Word and taught it, revealed it to them, and they were all of the group that heard the messenger and his message and looked and lived it. I know it is a great temptation to refer back to the day of Pentecost and also to the day when the Holy Ghost fell in the house of Cornelius and then set those two in identical experiences as the evidence of baptism of the Holy Ghost. But in each occasion, the tongues were understood by the listeners. How many times have you heard people when praying for praying in tongues, but there's no interpretation? But they refer to the scripture, but what they're doing is not what happened here. You see what he's saying here, that the truth. I remember me and Brother Yule went to meetings years ago and they wanted to get to Yule the Holy Ghost. And they shook him, and you remember that, brother? Shook him, shaked him, boy, they gave him something going over. He didn't know it hit him. But he never got it. Say it after me. Now that's not it, brothers. Nobody on the day of Pentecost said, say it after me. When I was in Czechoslovakia and people all spoke in Czech, nobody in English, but I heard it in English, whom he said after me, I heard it in my language, they spoke it in theirs. But the Holy Ghost let me hear it in mine.
Now I can't explain that, but God did it. In Zimbabwe, God let me speak fluently in Zimbabwean language, the Shona language, and the brothers turned around, they looked at each other, they were actually afraid.
And they said, one said to the other, we didn't know he could speak Shona, and I said, I can't. They said, well, he just did. They had a conversation and I knew it. I can't explain that, but God did it.
Can you explain that a missionary can go to a foreign country, and I've read several testimonies, and the interpreter wouldn't interpret for them because they believed in divine healing, and God supernaturally let them preach in the language of that people, never having learned one word of it? That's God. That's the book of Acts. That's the book of Acts. Amen.
Now let's read this. But if each keys in the tongues were understood by the listeners, this is a far cry from the modern babble of confusion of Pentecost. And he's talking about the denominations now. And if this were not enough to persuade us to leave all such reasoning, then will we do when we are confronted with the fact that people who have never spoken in tongues have some of the other eight manifestations in their lives, such as word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, faith, healing, even miracles? And this observation is even more interesting in the light that tongues is the least of the nine gifts. So when we see people who do not, nor ever have spoken in tongues, use greater gifts than those who do speak in tongues, we must discount such a doctrine even more completely than before. So you can see now that we cannot afford to say that the Bible has not said, when Scripture teaches us that the work of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the blessed Holy Spirit, the truth of each age to the true seed of that age, then we know that the Spirit has to be abiding in the person or he cannot receive the truth for that time. This is exactly correct, and if these ages bring out anything, they surely bring and bear out this truth. Now, before we leave this subject, I want to make myself very clear in what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is according to the Word. It is not to me, and it is not according to you. It has to be according to thus saith the Lord, or we are falsely led. So we must look at a scriptural evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not what a Pentecostal group believes, or a Methodist, or any group, or a message group. It must be according to the Word of God. So if a message group says you must believe the message, then they tell you what they class that to be. Now that might be different than what you know it to be. Now that's not the evidence then.
Are you following me? If I say to you, you must believe the message the day you live in, that is partly true.
Only partly.
Because, you see, the message of the day you live in is the gospel. It's the word of God. That is the message for the day you live in, the gospel. But then if I say, now you must believe the thunder's in this way or the seas in this way, that's not what it says. Now if you don't realise who came, you haven't got it. Where's the scripture for that? It's believing the word of God. And we know that God has done something in our day. We believe that. We know that. We don't deny that. But in that we believe that, we don't take every version what's out there. Because we can't. Because a lot of them's wrong. You see what I'm saying? But when people try to make out what they have is what you have to go, you can't go by that. It must be the Bible. The gospel. Yeah. You believe the gospel? The word of God?
Yeah. And is there someone in you that teaches you the word?
Amen.
That brings the scripture to you? That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's the teacher. Ye shall know the truth.
Amen.
And the truth shall make you free.
Right.
Now we believe in tongues. I speak in tongues. I speak in tongues in private. I pray sometimes in tongues. It's not a message. I'm praying because the Bible says he that prayeth in an unknown tongue, he recharges himself, he renews himself. That's what I'm doing. God has given me where I can give a gift in tongues. I don't often use it, but I believe it's there. There's other brothers here. My father.
the gifts of healing, and he never speaks in tongues. But he's still working with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Isn't that right? So we want all, we believe in all the gifts. And if you want to pray in tongues, if you really want to, God will let you do it. I believe that. But of course you haven't done it doesn't mean you haven't got the Holy Ghost. You see what I'm saying? Can you see it this morning? Can you understand it? It is a personal relationship with God that all of us need. A daily walking with the Lord, praying up and reading His Word, being continually filled with the Spirit. And even those that's baptized with the Spirit, you can be baptized with the Spirit 20 years ago, but you need to be refilled every day.
Amen.
Refilled with the Spirit. We cannot borrow or live by someone else's experience. We need a personal experience, a personal baptism of the Holy Spirit, personal salvation. You see, you know somebody's got saved, but you have to get saved. You know somebody has received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a personal thing, because this group all have to be filled with oil.
Right,
yeah. It's a personal affair.
Amen.
Ephesians 5 and verse 18 says this. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another and in the fear of God.
Amen.
So you submit yourselves one to another. You don't put yourself up above your brother or your sister. You submit to each other. You love each other. You have respect for each other. And even if a brother is used in a gift, that doesn't make him special.
Right.
And somebody that's not used that gift less, that's not how it works.
Amen.
Everyone is part of the body.
Amen.
It's Christ that's a special one. It's Christ that's the head.
Amen.
We're just members of that body.
Amen.
And all members in particular, but all members need it. The bridegroom came, listen to this. While the foolish virgins went to buy oil for themselves, the bridegroom came. And you know what William Branham said, when the rapture takes place, many people that did not believe the message he brought will turn to him. And they will say, this must have been true. And many message believers that are left behind, and you heard me right, because they've never had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they're going to be left. Because they believe in a prophet or hold a message book does not make them ready for the rapture. They can hold a message book, they can believe William Branham's a prophet, but if they themselves have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, they're not ready no more than the Baptist. It doesn't matter if it's a Baptist, a Methodist, or a message believer, every single one of them will have to be filled with a baptism of the Holy Ghost, or they're not going. And it's true. And many of them will know the truth. How many people round the world today say they believe it, but they never have received the Holy Spirit? And their lives prove they couldn't have. There's people that know, they think there's nothing wrong with telling lies. I know people that say they're message believers and they openly tell lies. They don't seem to see anything wrong with that. My brother, for me, that's not right. I told you what God did with me when I was a wee boy. I wasn't even saved then. But when you get saved, you don't go about telling lies. If you do, you need to repent. Get on your knees and repent before God. But I know people that think nothing of it. They tell you anything. Now, there's something wrong there. There's people that don't claim to have that light, but they've never tell you a lie. I have more respect for them.
Right.
So you see, this is not about saying, I belong to this or I belong to that. This is about belonging to Christ.
Yes.
This is about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we believe that God did send a message to bring us back to the original gospel. That's what it is. We believe that. There's no question about that. But just to say, well, I believe in a prophet and I'm going to the rapture, I'm sorry, that won't do it. That won't do it. When were you filled with the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Spirit since ye believed?
Amen.
The theme of Matthew 24 and 25 is the coming of the Lord, the coming of the bridegroom. There's many other scriptures as well that speak of the coming of the Lord, and of the second coming of the Lord is mentioned over 300 times in the New Testament. That's a lot of times. And we are to be ready. John 14, let me read you some scriptures before we close. John 14 verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the Lord himself is telling the people then, I'm coming again. And what I'm preaching about and emphasizing about the five wives, remember five foolish, they were all virgins. They all arose to trim their lamps, but five of them run out of oil. So people say, look, we have the truth. Yes, at one time, certain places might have had the truth, but they organized and let the oil run out. Now, I can see it today. You know what I'm saying by that? We don't need to look at any other organizations to see what we're talking about here. People have to have oil to go in. Acts chapter 1 verse 9 till 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight, verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them. And why the pearl, verse 11. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. As you have seen him go into heaven. Now here's the whole thing about it, and I'm finishing this. The ready ones enter the marriage. The ones that's ready enter the marriage. The bride has made herself ready. It doesn't say that the bridegroom made her ready. Now you know it's through the Holy Spirit and Christ, we know that, but understand what I'm saying here. The bride made herself ready. When Pamela and brother sister Sarah got married recently, and it wasn't Ruth, it was Sarah, just in case you're wondering, and I made that mistake a few times, and then I almost married Samantha on the day. Boy, I tell you, brother, it's a tough one, isn't it? But you see, Sarah prepared herself. She made herself ready. Paul never came over to Sister Carl's house and dressed Sarah in the way. You understand what I'm saying? She made herself ready. Now we know it's through the Word of God and all. We know that. And I'm not saying that it's not the Lord. It is the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying? God has given you and me what we need to be ready. And the bride makes herself ready. Let's read it in Revelation. First of all, let me read the Matthew 25, verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Revelation 19, and closing in this scripture. Verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Now that's through the blood of Christ. And he saith unto her, me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So the bride's made herself ready. She's trimmed the lamps and she's filled with oil. I'm going to have to close. So many other scriptures, but I'm going to have to close. But I don't want to. The time's gone. Made herself ready. So the filling of the Holy Spirit, what you need. Amen. I really feel the same again. I really feel this.
Amen.
Now, I've been praying this morning before I came, and I wasn't going to preach any of this. But I felt led to bring it again. I really believe, some people think, oh, I've never spoken tongues, I haven't got it. And God is saying to you, that's not the evidence.
Amen.
You can have the Holy Spirit without ever speaking in tongues. You see, the Pentecostals went into emotion on the extreme. Do you I have prayed for, I don't know how many people, thousands. It's thousands. It's definitely thousands. Sometimes when I've prayed for people, I have felt nothing. They've felt nothing. I've told them to believe God and they've been healed. There's other times I have felt something and they've felt something and they've been healed. But I don't pray for them because I have a feeling. And they don't get healed because they had a feeling. It's like salvation. You don't get saved because you had a feeling. You get saved because the Word of God says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You know, William Branham actually said in one place, this is one of the great mysteries, that you can receive the Holy Spirit without a sensation. Now, I know that's controversial. I know a lot of people don't believe that, but the prophet said it. He said this is one of the great mysteries, that you can receive it without a sensation. Now, I'm not saying that you won't have it, a sensation somewhere along. I'm not saying that, but you can have the Holy Spirit and never speak in tongues. But that doesn't mean if somebody, well, she's never spoken tongues or he hasn't spoken tongues, he haven't got it. That's not true. Many of those other messengers never spoke in tongues. You don't hear John Wesley preaching if it's speaking in tongues. But I can guarantee you John Wesley is the Holy Ghost. Martin Luther, the Holy Ghost. Irenaeus is the Holy Ghost. All them men had the Holy Ghost. You see, when we go through them, the church age books are very important to read it. Because you'll see that what happened, they all denominated. And they organized, and the Holy Spirit moved on. And in this, the last age we have come through, this Pentecostal age, that's what it was, the restoration of the gifts come in. At the Azusa Street, God sent a revival, the restoration of the Pentecostal gifts came. And we believe in them, and we thank God for them. Extreme. You've only to read the history. The one of oil appearing in people's hands. Stigmatism. Who's ever heard of stigmatism? Who's ever heard of Patrick Peel? Patrick Peel was a priest and he had, you know, where the marks of Jesus in his hands. And when he prayed for people, they were healed. Does that mean then that every minister must have the marks of Jesus in his hands? No. William Branham said, keep away from it. It's not scriptural. Oil and hands and all these things, it's not scriptural. It's nothing to do with it. There's no scriptural evidence for them things. It's receiving the truth. Now, tongues is part of the Word of God. We believe in tongues. But it doesn't mean everybody in the church must speak in tongues or they're not going. That's not true. You see, many groups said, pray, now everybody receive the Holy Ghost. And when they all spoke in tongues, they said everyone received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what they claim. But here's the problem I have with that. When you preach to that same group of people, Acts 2:38, they won't believe it. They'll say we don't believe it. Our denomination doesn't teach it. Yet they claim they have the Holy Spirit, but they deny the very scripture on the truth and water baptism. That proves to me what they had might have been some experience or sensation. Something happened, but it's not the baptism.
Right.
Because if they, when the early church received the baptism, they had the truth.
Amen.
And remember, we're in the last church age. These are the last days. We're to come back to the original.
Amen.
The original. Now, there's tongues there, but there's other gifts there as well. Special miracle for rock the hands of Paul. So I hope this helps somebody. The Lord bless you. Let's come and just bow our heads and let's just pray. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. And you said ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And him the Son sets free is free indeed. Lord, I pray you bless your word to our hearts. We do pray that you will fill us, everyone, with the Holy Ghost. And we know, Lord, that we can have sensation. And we believe all them things. We do believe in tongues. But we also believe in the other eight gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we do covet earnestly the best gifts. But, Lord, we desire the truth of your word. That we will know the truth. That we will be led in the truth. Lord, you said that your word is Your word is a lamp on our feet and a light on our path. We believe your word. You said if we walk in the light, you're in the light.
Yes.
Then we have fellowship one with another. Then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. I pray that you will fill your people with the Holy Ghost. Give them a definite experience of the Holy Spirit. That they'll be filled with the Spirit. Baptized with the Holy Ghost into your body. For the soon coming of the Lord. Lord, we know that Acts 2:38 says, repent ye therefore, be baptized every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we know that's eternal life. Ephesians says, whereby we're sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray you'll bless and strengthen your people. I pray for the service tonight as my dad would come, that you bless them and strengthen them and bless the people. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And Lord, for someone that's been wondering about these things, may the Holy Spirit now take this word and confirm it to them. And may they have a real satisfaction knowing that your word is the truth. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet as a brother comes. And the Lord bless each one. My dad will preach tonight. And the Lord bless each one.